Well, happy All Saints Day, you saints. I know every year we kind of wrestle with this because we want to say, who, me? I ain't no saint. Well, so to be clear, saints are not perfect. Saints are not the ones who have the right answer. Saints are not the ones who never say a bad word when they're working on their lawnmower. They are not the ones who never, ever sin. Saints are simply those who have been redeemed and made clean and new by God. Now, we often think of saints as being the opposite of sinners, but that's not it at all. It's not as if we are all one thing or the other. You know how this is. We are both, and you've seen those cartoons where Daffy Duck has a little devil on one shoulder and a little angel on the other, right? That lives in our head and in our hearts all the time. This is exactly what Martin Luther talked about a long time ago when he said we are simultaneously saints and sinners. We're not one or the other. We are always both. We can continue to fall short of perfection, but we are already forgiven and set free. This is also the day we remember those we have known and loved whose lives have ended this past year. And we remember them in God's promise. Now, the nature of God's promise goes far beyond what we normally experience in this world. You see, God's promise, God's love for us, is absolutely not conditional. I mean, think about this. If God loved us only if we were good, only if we followed the rules, that's not love. That's a contract. We get enough contracts in life. I just bought a car this week. Let me tell you, we know what contracts are like. But this is love. Love says, I love you always, even when you don't love me back. I love you when you're not only not perfect, but you're not even nice. I love you always. God's promise for us comes to us in Jesus, who goes to the cross to say, look, I am tired of being in this spot of judgment with you. I'm done with it. No more judging you. I'm saving you from it. I'm saving you from your fear. I'm saving you, Jesus says, from yourselves. But God's promise for us means freedom from worry and fear about whether we've done all the right things or followed all the rules. It means we are free to live without fear. God promises us new life. Now, we don't know exactly what that new life will be, but what I can tell you it is not simply our old bodies being brought back to life again. That is no blessing. My grandmother was 103 when she died. 103, can you imagine? I do not want to be in the room if it is her old body being brought back to life again. Because, well, she is a stubborn old German, she would not be happy being brought back in that same old body that stopped working for eternity. Imagine what a curse that would be. Instead, we are recreated new and fresh and free. But it is not limited to this physical world. Instead, God recreates us in a way that goes so far beyond our ability to comprehend or understand. I think it's kind of like, you know, the way we understand God, I think is kind of like the way my dogs understand me. Okay? My dogs only know a little bit about me. I show up and I bring them food. I show up and we play. Every now and then I take them to heaven when we go hunting. That's all they know about me. Then I disappear 8-10 hours at a time. And then I come back and the tails wag. That's all they know. They cannot comprehend me. And we cannot comprehend God. We just cannot get our heads all around that. So on this All Saints Day, we also remember a mystery. Well, there's a phrase we use in the Creed every single week as if we know what it means. I believe in the communion of saints. I believe in the communion of saints. Now, when I was a kid, when I heard communion of saints, what I thought that meant was a bunch of people sitting in church taking communion forever. What's the appeal to that? turns out I was wrong. What this describes instead is all of God's people, past, present, and future, united, recreated together at once. Now, that might be a mind-bender, except the deal is time only exists for us while we are living. Once our lives on this earth are over, time no longer exists for us. There is no past, present, or future. There's just now. So while we are still waiting to be reunited with those who have gone before us, for them, we're already with them. We're already there. Because for them, the future is now. The past is now. So every year on All Saints Day, we hear the same gospel reading. Words that are so famous they have their own name, the Beatitudes. Now, on the surface, it might sound odd to hear these words in a day we remember those who have passed on, if all saints and being saints is only about what happens after we die. So, it is about what happens after we die. But it is also about what happens after we have been forgiven and redeemed and given our lives back again. Being saints means being blessed and being a blessing. Notice in Jesus' words, he said, blessed are the poor, those who mourn, the meek, and so on. He didn't say, you will be blessed at some time in the distant future after you die. Oh, no. He says, you are blessed now. Well, isn't that goofy? If you're cold or hungry or poor, you sure don't feel blessed. Far from it. Yet Jesus says the kingdom of God already belongs to you. When you suffer, when you face injustice, when you are hungry, when you mourn, in those times you are not far from God. Now, Jesus was speaking to people who were hungry and cold and poor, people who knew sickness and mourning all too well. In those times, those who were ill or suffering were often told by the wealthy and powerful that it was God's punishment on them for some sin they had committed. They felt far from God. They felt anything but blessed. And Jesus tells them the kingdom of God already belongs to them. No matter what anybody else says, it's already theirs. But along with the blessing, Jesus also says, woe to you who are well fed, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your good things. Now, it might sound like these statements of woe are directed at us, because compared to the rest of the world, golly, compared to a lot of the country, we are well fed, we are well off, and so on. But see, this is not simply a judgment passed on the haves versus the have-nots. Instead, today Jesus sends us to be a sign of the kingdom of God. So to be clear, these statements of woe, these statements of judgment, they only apply to us if we choose to do nothing. We don't need God to judge us. We choose our own judgment, whether we will be blessers or withholders of blessing, whether we will choose blessing or curse. Being saints does not mean being perfect. It does not mean never doubting or never sinning. Oh, no. Being saints means living in God's way, carrying the marks and signs of God's power into the world right now in tangible ways that people can see and feel and touch. And when we do, it spreads. It rubs off. It works like this. So last weekend, our confirmation students went to a couple of the local grocery stores, and they collected food for our pantry at Sussex Outreach Service. And as people are going into shop, they handed out lists of items that were needed to shoppers, and lots of people brought items back to them. Our students collected a ton. Literally a ton, 2,000 pounds, shotgun, a ton of food that weekend. So Kim told me that There was one woman who took the list. She went into the store, filled her shopping cart to overflowing with items on the list, and she brought it back to our students at the door. And they asked her, so which bags should we take out? You know, which are for us? She said, no, it's all for you. They didn't know what to do. And they said to Kim, what do we do? This whole cart's for us. And Kim said, well, grace happened. They were so excited. She brought this whole cart. And when she said, it's all for you, for the pantry, this woman thanked them for collecting the food. That's how grace is spread. That's how God works. That's what it means to be a blessing. Because of God's promise, we don't need to worry about trying to be good enough to save ourselves. Instead, we are free to love others and to have some fun doing it, living in God's way that Jesus calls the kingdom of God. Jesus gives us a simple list of what to do. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for them. Give to those who are in need. Be generous. Feed the hungry. See, being faithful, being saints, Jesus says, is very much about how we choose to live. Do we live for ourselves or for others? Do we keep score and hold grudges, or do we forgive? And we don't do this alone. We live with God, and we live with each other, with Jesus in us and leading us every day as we wait for that time when these beautiful words from the end of the book of Revelation come true. God himself will be with you. God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore. For all these old things have passed away. And he says, look, I've made everything new.